Hallelujah. His faithfulness has been great. Hallelujah. He is always faithful. Father, you are always faithful. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is in this place. We worship you and we honor you. Hallelujah. Stand up and sing with me. Praise the Lord.
Oh, great is thy faithfulness, oh God, my Father.
Oh, Father, we are thankful for your faithfulness. You, God, who cannot and will never lie. Your word is truth. It abides forever. And Lord, O God, it is to that word that we hold on to your everlasting promises. That you, the God who has loved us with an everlasting love, will find a way to bring to fulfillment your promised covenant word in our lives. Tonight we cry out to you and we ask, oh God, that if there be anything in us that is generating any kind of delay in the manifestation of your purpose, Lord, by an act of our will, we surrender to you and we say, Lord, surgically remove such a thing and establish the fulfillment of your word in our lives, that your name exalted will cause many to praise you, to worship you, to adore you, and to express thanksgiving. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to this evening's Bible study. We are in the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter. And we are in the 23rd verse. We concluded in 22 last week where it says, do they not err that devise evil? Do they not err that devise evil? The statement is very clear. People who spend their time devising evil and making a fatal error. Unfortunately, there's so many that sit down and plot and think, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get back at this person doing that, and so on and so forth. And sometimes it seems like they got away with it. But it catches up with them. You know, the person who sits down and says, you know, I'm going to go into that school and I'm going to shoot it up. Yeah, they may succeed in killing somebody. But the word of God says, they are in error. Doing evil is always an act of error, no matter how small it is. No matter how big it is an error. Do they not err that devise, plot, think about doing evil, something wicked, something harmful? It says, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. When you choose to do the good thing, it says mercy and truth come your way. And as we've read from Proverbs 16 and verse 6, it says, mercy and truth purge iniquity. Patterns that bring you down, those are what iniquities are. It says, mercy and truth will purge. It will remove, extricate from your life that which is evil. Praise the Lord. And back here, he says in verse 23, in all labor there is profit. If you are putting your back to work, he says there is profit. There is a gain. Now, the gain may not necessarily be right away monetary, but there are gains of you feeling good about yourself, that you're doing something, that you're not just laying down and sleeping your life away. There is profit, emotional profit, physical profit, financial profit, relational profit. All kinds of things can happen. Your mind is expanding as you are laboring. Your mind, your brain, nerves, synapses, everything is working. So there is gain there. How many times have we seen people who've retired just go down the drain so quickly? Everything falls apart. They've worked and they retired. Not that retirement is bad. I'm not planning on retiring. I'm going to be preaching this gospel until Jesus, our Lord, comes, or until he says, come home. But this gospel I'm going to preach. Hallelujah. There's no retirement here. Prophets don't retire. My spiritual father taught me that. He says, in all labor, all kinds of labor, there is profit. He says, but the talk of the lips tended only to penury. But the talk of the lips only to penury. Now, we know that God created and worked with his lips, with his words. And if we created an image and likeness of God, that should be the same. So what is it talking about here when it says, but the talk of the lips tended only to penury? It's not talking necessarily about the talk of faith. It's talking about a big mouth person who just yap, 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 and does nothing. Bible says, faith without works is dead. Why? Because it abideth alone. God wants corresponding actions. You need to be walking towards what you are saying. If you're saying that you are rich, if you're saying that you're healthy, if you're saying that you're blessed, you should be walking in that direction, doing things that complement what you're saying. Praise the Lord. Working, doing things, saying things in line with what you are believing. Now, what you say is working ahead of you. It's preparing. In fact, the Lord tells us that John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. Yeah? Okay, so also do your words prepare the way for you. It does not mean that you don't come. God believed, and the Bible says Jesus was crucified before the foundations of the world, but God put action to those words by sending the manifestation of the word. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, to fulfill what he said. In fact, many times the word of God says, this did Jesus do to fulfill Yeah? So, just talk is not enough. There's got to be action. Praise the Lord. He says, just talk only leads to penury or to poverty. So you can go around saying, I'm rich, I'm blessed and highly favored, blah, 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 blah. And if you're not doing things that lead towards that end, you will die just talking. There's got to be corresponding actions. God has an amazing way of meeting your needs and my needs. An example of that will be that my air conditioning system went down. So it was hot in the house. And I cracked my window because Pastor Paul and Bro Wes were helping me with something in my yard. I said, is there some switch in the outside there because my air conditioning is not working? He said, there is one. It's on. I came and looked at it, checked the breakers, everything, and I get a message on my phone. Come out. There's an air conditioner guy here. I didn't need to go look for an air conditioner guy. The air conditioner guy was there. He'd come to the yard to ask if my address was the address he was supposed to be coming to because he was supposed to go fix something somewhere else. Praise the Lord. And so my air conditioner got fixed. Didn't have to go running looking for. That is, I am blessed and what? Highly favored. You don't just say I'm blessed and highly favored and don't mean it. You say it and you know it is so. Where Mama and I go to exercise, they have their regiment on how things get done. And you have to register for this at a particular time, every time, for you to be able to get. Would you know they've had about 3 or 4 different workers, and every single one of them will book us in. And when I'm coming back, I said, I'm okay. They don't do it for anybody else. Blessed and highly favored. You have access. You're blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Amen? So it is talk, but you're carrying yourself in that grace. And seeing God pull things together for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we need to use. If you're just working, and there's no faith, you're laboring in vain. Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2, make this statement. Except the Lord builds the house, the builders build in vain. Except the Lord watches over the city, the watchman watches in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And the idea is, hey, it's not all work. It is faith. It's been part of the beloved of God. Sleep is not bad, but if sleep is what you do, then you are going to be caught up in chains by the spirit of poverty. Well, God doesn't want you not to sleep because you're busy working so hard. No, you shouldn't be working hard. You should be working blessed. Let me say that again. You're not called to work hard. You're called to work blessed. That means that you are working together with the Lord, and He's directing your path because you're acknowledging Him in all of your ways. Amen? He says, the crown of the wise is their riches. The crown of the wise is their riches. Now, that statement is a very striking statement. Because if we remember the Lord talking, He says, I will liken a wise man to the man who came, heard my words, and did it. He says, the foolish man came, heard the words, but did not do it. This is the same thought about faith and works. Right? He says, the crown of the wise is their riches. At the end of life, at the end of you doing everything, if you have come, heard the words of God, and you are applying the word of God, you are going to be crowned with riches. That's what it's saying. It says, but the foolishness of fools is folly. It's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. And you can be working like there is no God, and it's all by your strength and your power. You're working, you're doing stuff. But the end of that pathway is loss. It's, life is about profit and losses. You profit if you're laboring in the wisdom and guidance of the Lord, and you'll be losing if you're working in your own ability, based on your own power. There comes a time when all of that will fade away to nothing. How many people have accumulated so much wealth? They just worked, gathered so much wealth. Like the rich man in the Bible says, I've gotten so much. And that night, God speaks and says, foolish man, today you are going to die. And all this stuff that you've gathered, who is going to have it? I've seen people do so much, gathered so much, and when it's time for them to enjoy it, they get so sick, they can't enjoy it. It just, that's why, you know what? If I go into a store and I buy something, maybe it's a shoe or something, the chances are my old one is going inside the box and I'm walking out with my brand new shoes. I'm going to enjoy it right now. Praise the Lord. People buy stuff just to stick it in the wall, looking at it, how beautiful it is. Not me. It will be beautiful in my feet. It will be beautiful in my... I'm wearing you. Why waste the time? I don't know what connection that had with that passage of scripture, but it came to mind. The crown of the wise is their riches. Right there is a promise. I want you to see that as a promise. The crown of the wise is their riches. God, I am wise because I have come to hear your word and I'm doing it by the authority that you place me with. And I thank you that the manifestation of the honor that you have bestowed upon me is that I'm rich. He says, wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. Lord, you have given me the gift of righteousness. I cannot be poor. Hallelujah. I cannot be poor. I cannot be serving you and be broke. Praise the Lord. So maybe you're struggling, you have no money in your pocket. That does not mean that you're still poor. Because riches is not just in paper money. Riches is in your relationships. There are poor people that know great people. And through the actions of that so-called poor person compared to you, he gives you access to that king. Without this guy, you're not going there. The guy might be a gate man. You can honk all you want. If he doesn't open that gate, you're not going in. But relationships open all kinds of doors for you. That's riches. When you're obedient to the word of God, God connecting you to people who do anything and everything for you, help you in all kinds of ways. And it is based on a relationship. Maybe not a direct relationship, maybe a relationship with somebody else. Because of this person who knows this person, you get to go to this person because of them. Your pool. You know, as I travel, I get to meet all kinds of people, ministers, and I remember I had gone to a particular country. Which one was that? Anyway, somewhere in Asia. I flew from the Philippines to this nation just to go speak for an hour. And then I was turning around and going back. So I flew into that country. I did not see immigration. I did not see anybody. I just came out of the plane. The people who came, got me, and I just walked right through, out into the vehicle that was waiting for me, and zoom, while all the other people that were in the plane were going through immigration, I was gone. How did that happen? I knew somebody who knew somebody who had connections. They had connections. Now, I may not have $100 in my pocket, but I just walked through that airport like I was a billionaire who came in with a private jet and had everybody answering to them. Just gone. I said, wow, look at this. And the person who came to pick me up was a high celebrity in that country. I didn't know them. I got to my hotel. The hotel was just amazing. I wish I was able to stay. They just had that hotel just for me to just stop in there, refresh myself. And I got in there, refreshed myself, 20, 30 minutes, I was out. It wasn't my money, but connections, relationships. Relationships are important. That's why we need to treat every person we meet with honor. You don't know who you're dealing with or who is watching you. Praise the Lord. But the foolishness of fools is folly. Person who doesn't come, hear God's word, and doing it. He says, the end of that person is folly. Everything you're doing is foolish. Thou fool, all this that you've acquired and put in place, today you're going to die, and who's going to have it? What is that you've gathered? Too many times we just live our lives like, this is it. Or there's more than this is it. Verse 25 says, the true witness delivered souls. A true witness, a man that is truthful, will deliver a soul or souls. And the assumption here is this, that there are many that are accused who are not really guilty. And it takes somebody to come and speak the truth for them to live and escape from the damage that was coming their way. It says, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. They did with Jesus. They went and found some people that were willing to tell all kinds of lies. This one told his lie, and that one told their lies, and they said contradicting themselves. Deceitful. I saw him. I saw that. What did you see? He asked them 10 questions and you get 20 answers. God says, basically saying, I want you to be a deliverer of souls. Tell the truth. Now, delivered souls. We may think that might mean only getting somebody out of trouble. But as far as God is concerned, the soul that sinneth is the one that dies. And so sometimes the true witness may not deliver you physically from imprisonment or from punishment, but may deliver you from eternal loss. You know, where you face the consequence of your actions and you are able to repent because you become very aware and very clear in your mind about what wrong you've done. Now it says, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. It does not say that the deceitful witness is not going to deliver a soul physically. You may be a deceitful liar and the person escapes punishment and gets into a bigger punishment, a bigger situation. But your lie got them out. And there are so many people who've gotten out because of the lies of somebody. And so the case was thrown out because they were not sure what the situation was anymore. But that doesn't set that person free, because ultimately, justice comes from God. Ultimately, everybody is going to stand before God. You may think you got away with it, but God doesn't look at the outward stuff. He looks at the heart, right? So because you had a good lawyer and you got out, does not mean that you're out, because you're still going to face up with the judge of the whole earth. Are we together? So the next statement is very clear. It says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. When you have the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, it says there is strong confidence. There is strong confidence when you know that what you're doing is the truth. And no matter how many lies, deceptive works are spoken against you, you're still confident, knowing it is well with my soul. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. It helps you when you have the fear of the Lord, you have a reverence for God, you know that God is for you. And so you can go confidently to do whatever it is you need to do and accomplish great things. A man with deep confidence had made millions of dollars. And they put him in a community and gave him, I think it was $10. And he says, in a month's time, I am going to have $1 million. He was not to call any of his past relationships. He was going to start from the scratch with that $10. He kept on working at it, working at it. There were times when he almost got discouraged. I was so tempted to call his family. He just wanted to quit. He harnessed himself. Over the end of that month, that guy had $1 million. Because of his confidence. Confidence. He knew he could do it. And he did. And today he's helping other people become millionaires. I'm not talking about a fictitious person. I'm talking about a real life person. Confidence is a powerful force. When you're confident, you exude that to others, and they in turn have confidence in you because you feed in. It forms a circuit of its own. It is this kind of, now, let me put this this way. It says the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. It's describing the kind of confidence a person who has the fear of the Lord has. It is strong confidence. It's unwavering. It's a manifestation of, I know that I know that I know that I know. And that confidence is in God. And it is the confidence of God that is flowing in you and through you because you're connected with Him. Or let me put it this way. You have a big tree and a little twig by its side. And the wind is blowing and that big tree is solid. It's not moving anywhere. But this little twig is flipping all over the place. And now you tie that little twig to the big tree. What happens? It's no longer flipping all over the place. It's embracing the strength of the big tree. And the big tree has pulled in and taken on the weakness of the small twig. And now they are both solid. The same thing happens to a child of God. When we have the fear of the Lord, the strong confidence of God comes inside of you and stabilizes you and makes it possible for you to stay strong in spite of all that's happening around you. And then it goes on, it says, and his children shall have a place of refuge. And his children, the children of the one who has the fear of the Lord and has confidence, his children shall have a place of refuge. They will always have a place to run to. Because there's confidence. Confidence doesn't die. Confidence doesn't age. Confidence is just there, solid. And no matter what's happening, confidence says, I shall live and not die and testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Meanwhile, every part of the man's body is falling apart, so to speak. But confidence says, no, this is not my portion. This is not my portion. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I have confidence in the faithfulness of my God. He is faithful and he will not lie to me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that I know that I know that he is a good God. And that keeps you stable. And that stability causes your children, whether they are natural or spiritual, to always come and say, Papa, I don't know. How do you do this? With all this that you're going through, how can you still have a smile on your face? With all this stuff that is happening in your life right now, are you able to make it? Well, Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. He's God and he's prepared a place for me, a table for me, in the presence of my enemies. Surely, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's the God who's made me to lie down in green pastures. That is confidence. I have a relationship. It is with the Lord, who is my shepherd, who caused me to lack nothing. He knows everything. He knows where the watering holes are. He knows where the green grass is. I may be limited in my view of things, but he knows. Because while I was in that small little place, my good shepherd had been walking around and he knows where everything is. And when we have the confidence that God knows every single detail, we are less afraid. You don't know how many times as a pastor I see how much came in the offering, and I see how big the bills are. How are we going to do this? I used to worry about that. And I came to the place, wait a minute, what are you doing? What under God's heaven are you doing right now? You're worrying about what? Do you know that God was here before you came to this day? That God is already in 2026, 2027, 2028 before you got there? That he knows every single detail of what bills are coming and what bills need to be paid? Do you know that he knows that? I know. Then chill. So I relax. If I didn't, I'll come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday. Guys, hey, what are you doing? How come you're not giving? So what kind of foolishness is that? There are people who are giving. There are some people who are not giving. But God knows about that. So God, who knows about it, knows how to take care of those bills. I'm not going to worry about it. Let God be God. And you know what God does? Without running to go look this way or that way, he provides another way to minister to the need. I remember years ago, in actuality, to really function smoothly, without me giving out stuff, there's a certain amount that we need. Okay? Every Sunday or every week, we need this amount of money for things to move smoothly. No sweating, no concerns. So this is the amount we need. But we get this amount, sometimes this amount. But this amount doesn't change. So what do? You either have strong confidence in the Lord that he has the answer to it, or you fall apart. God is faithful. He finds a way to make this happen. He finds a way every time. Something happens. And all of a sudden you get what you need. It might get you here, not here completely. But at another time it might get you here. And all of a sudden the shortfall here is met here. And you keep on going. And if it doesn't happen, he finds a way to grant you favor. The person who needs this says, don't worry about it. And then it comes, and now you cover that. But your confidence is in the Lord. I say that to say this to every one of us. Don't lose confidence Know that God is faithful, no matter what. No matter what, He is still faithful. Jesus, our Lord, did not have the amount of bread to feed the 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women and children. Physically, He did not have the bread. But whatever it is he had confidence in God that that was going to be enough. And that solved all the problem, and he had extra. That's what I'm talking about. It's the exercise of your faith. How did Jesus do it? 5 loaves, 2 fishes. His works was sit them in groups of 50s. Why 50? Because 50 represents jubilee. Every debt canceled. Bondages removed. A refresh, a restart. That was his act of works concerning faith. And the answer was given. And everybody found refuge there. And it says another thing about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Now it says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. And what it's saying to us is very remarkable. This fountain keeps on erupting and pouring out life. It's just pouring out life. And it says to depart from the snares of death. The snares of death is there, but the fountain of life overwhelms death. Let me say that again. The fountain of God's life overwhelms the death. All the snares of the enemy is dumbed down because life keeps on pumping inside of you. I remember a prophetic word the Lord gave. It's got to be about 10, maybe even close to 15 years back. The reason I remember it is because it was so striking. He said, I don't need you to remove the sickness, but I can always give life. And then he said, there are people that are going to be full of cancer, but they keep on living as if they had no cancer. But if you check everything, it says cancer. But they keep on living healthy, strong lives. And when I heard that, I said, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying? Why don't you just get rid of the cancer? And they have life. He said, no. Sometimes, that's what I do. Life where death is, it's a fountain of life. When you have the fear of the Lord, there's a fountain of life that says, live, live, you live, you live. And your body's saying, you're dying. What life says, no, you're living. When I heard those words, I knew, I'm not going to be burying anybody anytime soon. Yeah. No, because you're going to keep on living. That word, I claimed it for everybody. They will live and continue to live. Hallelujah. Nobody's going anywhere until the Lord says, I want you to come home. But as long as I need them here, they're not going anywhere. Praise the Lord. That's God. The fountain of life causes you to depart from the snares of death. A deeper sense of that statement is when you have the fountain of life, meaning that iniquities are purged out of your life, that you have the spiritual sense and know-how to step away from things that want to snare you to death, entrap you. This is a place of discipline that we all need. We are not all so strong. You know, there are some people that have a weakness for donuts, for cakes, sweets, pop. And it doesn't matter how sick they are, they still want that donut. The doctor says, don't eat those donuts, it's going to kill you. But, okay, doctor. And before you know it, no discipline. But God's grace and mercy help us. Say, I really want to eat that, but no, I'm not going to do that. Not out of fear, but out of the strong confidence of the presence of God, which you know, I don't need that. Don't need to do that. I don't need to drink that. I'll do this instead. And pretty soon, your new pattern takes a hold of you that the old ways no longer have a pull. Does that make sense? And that's what we need many times. That's discipline. You know, not to stop at the next Tim Hortons or Burger King or KFC, like every day. You know, there are some people who cannot help themselves. They've just got to have some KFC or some McDonald's Big Mac. I got to get my Starbucks. Yeah. No discipline. For the fear of the Lord becomes a fountain of life that keeps on speaking life to you. And those things that had a stronghold on you, lose their grip. It's not like you should not ever eat KFC or McDonald's or have some donuts. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when stuff have a grip on you that you cannot help yourself. It's like a guy that has an elbow problem. You know what that is, right? Booze. And God's grace comes in there. And that's no longer, it has no power anymore. The fountain of life is flowing inside of you that you depart from those things that want to snare you entrap you and bring you to death. And finally, let's look at verse 28. In the multitude of people is the king's honor. Or let's put it this way. A true leader many times is known by his following. If you're a king, you have to have a following. And because you have that following, you can do a lot of things. He says, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He's still a prince. He's still a prince. But he says, when he doesn't have people, destruction comes. The destruction comes to the prince, who is a leader because he doesn't have people. Now, when we talk about people here, you can have a multitude and still lack people. What do I mean by that? You have 1,000 people. But you only have 4 or 5 faithful people. And those 4 or 5 faithful people can only do so much. 4 or 5 people that are qualified to do stuff, and they can only do so much. That prince is going to face destruction. Because he doesn't have the manpower resources. Now, you can have a person who has 1,000 people, and he has 500 qualified workers. He's healthy. That's 1 to 2. The other one is 1 to 500 or 200. That's a problem. So, the issue is people. People is important. People as resources. People as helpers. People that believe in the leadership and are serving the leadership with everything they've got. He says, when you've got that, that king has honor. When you don't have helpers, the prince is destroyed. But in the want or lack of people is the destruction of the prince. He's a prince. He'll always be a prince. But he's destroyed because he doesn't have people. The people that support that prince, who may become a king. I'm so thankful. You know, many times I go to the Lord and I don't have many people, but I'm thankful for the people you've given to me. I celebrate every single one of them. Because there is nothing that I really feel I need to do that I cannot do. I can do everything that God is instructing me to do because of the people I have. We may not be many, but we are faithful in doing what needs to be done. And they go the extra mile. I don't know who I was saying this to recently. Not every pastor has what I've got. They may look at me and say, how do you do this? How do you do that? Grace, mercy. Let me say something. We have our worship team here, they're singing, doing their thing, leading us in worship and adoration before the Lord. There are churches in this city who don't have what we've got. And if they're going to have what we've got, they've got to pay every musician, every service. They have to be paid or they're not going to play. I've never had to struggle with that. There are churches, they have to pay everybody in behind those cameras. And over there, you don't have the money to pay. We're not doing nothing. Well, God didn't give me those kind of people. And I don't want those kind of people either. Everyone here is coming to worship the King of Kings and ushering the presence of God in. What I just said now is creating a riot around the world right now. There are pastors that are revolting. Not paying nobody no more. And there are musicians who are saying, okay, we're going out there, you know, and they're charging like the world to do concerts and whatever it is. You know, you want us to come? Put $10,000 in my pocket first as down payment. Then you need to fly me first class. All kinds of craziness happening in the world. Hirelings. You know, people ask me, how much do I need to pay you for you to come? Nothing. You mean nothing? Yeah, exactly that. You may take an offering for me, if that's what you elect. All I want is water. Get me a hotel and give me water. That's it. No. Yeah. I am not coming so that you control me with your offering. You can say this and you cannot say that. None of that. When I come, I'm going to say what God is saying. And I'll have my own money in my pocket. If you don't give me an honorarium, okay, I still have money to get back home. That's it. I'm not here for hire. The Lord called me. The Lord takes care of me. When I turned 68, I asked the Lord, talk to me about what he wanted to say to me. And I was busy trying to negotiate something. And the Lord says, read Mark 6:8. I kept on typing on my iPhone. He said, I said, read Mark 6:8. I said, okay, I will read it after I finish this. I said, read Mark 6:8 before you finish this thing that you're writing. So I opened Mark 6:8. It says, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. And what I was negotiating had to do with money. I can't get away with anything. And basically what he was saying to me is, listen, whatever it is you're trying to do now, don't put your faith in that. Because that's not your source. I'm your source. So stop this. Don't put your faith in what you're trying to negotiate here. He said, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. Wow. He said, Lord, I salute you. I obey. And that should be our response. Trusting God. You know, through the years, I've seen and experienced things that it's not just me that I've experienced stuff like this. But there have been times when, you know, you go, you minister, God uses you mightily. And nobody takes a dime out of their pocket and say, thank you so much. Not the pastor, not the church, not the members, nobody. But God moved mightily. So what are you going to do? Get bitter? It has happened. And there are times when they've actually, they tell you, hey, this is the money that came in. Well, we did not know you were going to be ministering like that and all this kind of money comes in, so we are not giving you all of it. We're going to give you 0.01%. So they actually stole your offering. What do? Get upset? Nah. Nah. Waste of time. God called you. Didn't trust him. He's faithful. Amen? I know you're not ministers, so you may not ever experience what I just said, but the principle is still true. People may not treat you right. That's right. Sometimes they might shortchange you. But one thing you need to do at all times: have your confidence in Him. Period. And He will meet all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the wonderful opportunity we have in You, that we've been blessed by You, we've been encouraged by You, we've been directed by You. And many times, Lord, amazing things have happened to us because of Your grace. Let the words that You have unveiled to us tonight cause us to flourish as the fountain of life that flows from You, erupts from You, overwhelms the snares of death, and cause us, O God, to continue in the fullness of life that comes from You, Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of Your own will have You begotten us as a kind of first fruits. We bless Your holy name, Father, that everything in our life is blessed of You. We release our offerings, our expressions of vows and tithes and free will given to You. Bless our seed sown. Multiply it. Increase our greatness and cause us to blossom, blooming in the fruitfulness of God's goodness. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This time you may honor God with your giving and thank God for His faithfulness towards us all. We'll say bye to those on YouTube and Facebook at this time. And we'll just spend a quick moment with those on Zoom. All right. Brother John, I see you. Brother Bill.